Bibles, we're going to go ahead and jump into the Word tonight. And we're going to go to John's Gospel, the 12th chapter, verse 12. And we're going to talk a little bit about praise and the power of praise, the effect that praise has. Amen. And, you know, Larry was alluding to some of the things that we're going to share a little bit tonight. But I want to read this in John 12. And we're going to start in verse 12. We have several scriptures we're going to look at tonight, but we'll just see where we go. And this is what it says here. It says, "In the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him. And they began to cry, 'Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord.'" In other words, they began to worship. They began to praise. They began to lift their voices unto the Lord and just begin declaring, "Hosanna," or they begin to declare, "This is the King. This is the Lord." And listen, that's how we are to be in our relationship with the Lord. Amen. We're to declare how great our God is. It says they took branches, palm leaves, went in the street, and they laid it before him, and they begin to cry and declare that. In verse 14 says, "And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, and he said, 'Fear not, O daughter of Zion. Behold, the King cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered these things which were written of him and these things that were done in him.'" So we see in the scripture that, man, there was just this exuberant act of worship and praise that began to take place because of Jesus. And guys, how many know that's not to change? Amen. There is to be an exuberant act of worship that takes place because of Jesus. Amen. In other words, you and I, we're to exalt the Lord. We're to praise God. You know, most Christians believe that, you know, that giving God praise and being thankful to the Lord is a good thing. How many believe that's a good thing? Amen. To be thankful to the Lord and to give him praise. But a lot of times we think that praising God and being thankful is something that you do after you've received an answer to prayer. But I'm telling you, that's not the only time that we're supposed to praise and that we're supposed to be thankful unto the Lord. Amen. And so we have to understand that that our praise is not an option with God. Our thanksgiving is not an option with God. In other words, it's not something that we just do sometimes and then not other times. Amen. I'm going to read the scripture in Psalms 47, verse 6. It says, "Sing praise to God. Sing praises unto our King." It says, "Sing praises, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with thanksgiving." So the scripture says that we're supposed to do what? We're supposed to sing praises unto God. In other words, we're supposed to praise the Lord. Amen. And understand something about praise. And understand something about thanksgiving. Let me get a sip here. I got a tickle in my throat. One thing that we need to understand about praise and about thanksgiving, that number one, it affects you as a believer. Okay? In other words, it has an impact upon your life. Amen. Your praise, your thanksgiving, not only does it have an impact upon you as a believer, but it actually has an impact and it affects the devil. How many want to affect the devil? Amen. And so you need to understand that your praise and your thanksgiving, it affects the devil. Not only does it affect you and has an impact upon your own life, but it affects the devil. And understand that your praise and your thanksgiving, it affects God. Amen. It affects God. Know that this is something that you turn to 1 Peter, the second chapter, verse 9. I want to read this scripture in 1 Peter, the second chapter, verse 9. Praise and thanksgiving is one of the high callings that you and I have as believers. Every believer has an eternal identity. And I'm going to read this in 1 Peter 2, verse 9, because this is a powerful scripture, but what it is, it's the identity of the believer. Amen. In other words, this is who you and I are to be. Amen. It says, "But you are a chosen generation." Amen. It says, "You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." I'm going to read that one more time. And it says that we're supposed to show forth praises. I mean, this is part of what you and I are to be doing. Amen. And so it says, but you are a chosen generation. In other words, you and I have been united because of the blood. In other words, we have one common goal. How many know we have one common goal? Amen. You know, it's just like our church and Revive Church. Amen. How many know we have one common goal? Amen. And that's to exalt the Lord. That's to magnify Him, to exalt His name. Amen. It says, but you are a chosen generation. Amen. You are a royal priesthood. In other words, you and I have been made to serve in the inner court of the King. Let me say that again. You and I have been made to serve in the inner court of the King. You need to think about that. Amen. We're a royal priesthood. That's what it says. This is our identity. Amen. We've been chosen, but we're a royal priesthood. Amen. And understand, it's our worship. It's our praise. It's our thanksgiving. It's our prayers that we serve the King in His inner court. Amen. So, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. In other words, you and I are supposed to be longing for the heart of God. Come on. As a nation, you need to see ourselves as a holy nation. Amen. I mean, that's part of our identity as believers. Amen. We've been chosen. Amen. We're a royal priesthood. In other words, we are a holy nation. In other words, we're supposed to be longing for the heart of God. Amen. It says we're a peculiar people that we should show forth the praises of Him who hath called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. In other words, you and I, we're now God's possession. Amen. We've been bought with the blood. Amen. You're no longer your own. Amen. Oh, you and I are living testimonies of the goodness of God. Amen. That's why we're to offer up thanksgiving. That's why we're to offer up praise unto Him. Amen. In fact, it says that we should show forth the praises of Him that has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. In other words, you and I, we're to declare it abroad. Amen. In other words, you and I, we're to publish this. We're to publish the greatness of our God. Amen. Now, I want to go to Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, because I just want you to get this in your spirit in regards to praise and thanksgiving tonight. Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, verse 47. Because, you know, in our service to God, our service is to be done with joyfulness. It's to be done with a glad heart. Okay? In other words, we're not to serve God begrudgingly. Amen. We're not to serve God, you know, with a downcast spirit. We're to serve God with joyfulness and with a glad heart. Deuteronomy 28:47. It says, because thou servest not the Lord. And this is what God said. Because thou didn't serve me with joyfulness and with gladness of heart, for the abundance of all things. Therefore thou shalt serve thy enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things. And ye shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he hath destroyed thee. Now when you read this, it's like, wow, that's pretty heavy scripture. Amen. But what it's saying here, and I understand we're no longer under the law, okay? But this verse tells us that God wants us to have joyful and thankful hearts. Amen? He wants us to have joyful and thankful hearts. How many believe Jesus was joyful? Jesus was joyful. Amen? You read in Hebrews, the first chapter, verse 8 through 9, it says, but to the Son, He says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, hath anointed you. And this is speaking about Jesus. He's anointed him with what? The oil of gladness more than your companions. And so we need to understand Jesus served his Father with a glad heart, with joyfulness, with thanksgiving, with praise that constantly was erupting and coming forth from his spirit and from his heart. Amen? And we need to understand that God's desire for you and I in our service to him, amen, is that we're to do it with joyfulness and with a glad heart. Amen. So I want to just tonight just make a couple of declarations. Number one, your praise, your thankfulness has such a powerful effect upon you as a believer. And you need to understand that. See, when you praise God, you're acknowledging not that what is being done is because of your own efforts, but because it's because of the goodness and the blessing of the Lord. Amen. You know, Jesus even made the statement. He said, listen, the things that I don't do it because of myself. He says, I'm able to do it because of the Father. Amen. And we need to understand your praise will have a powerful effect on you as you begin to acknowledge and realize that, man, you're praising God because what God is doing in your life. Amen. You know, you read in Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter, the 8th chapter, and the children of Israel are told in the scripture to remember to thank God for the abundance that they've received. Amen. And we're not going to go all the way through it. But as you read these scriptures, you find that the Lord was wanting them to offer thanksgiving. He was wanting them to offer praise. He was wanting them to lift their voices and bless them. Amen. And one thing that praise does in affecting us, that praise causes us to be humble before the Lord. Amen. To be humble before the Lord. You read in Isaiah 57 verse 15, it says, the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, the holy one says this, I live in that high and holy place where with those who have contrite and humble spirits. And as in I will refresh the humble and give new courage to those with repentant hearts. And so we need to understand when we offer praise and we offer thanksgiving to God, it's actually you and I acknowledging that God, you have done something for us that we could never do on our own. Amen. What we have, God, is not because of the work of my own hands, but God, it's because you have blessed me and that you have been with me and you have showered your goodness upon my life. Amen. In other words, what praise begins to represent to God and what it does for us, it causes us to recognize and humble ourselves before his hand. Amen. James 4:10 says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and what God will do, he'll lift you up. Amen. And see, when you offer praise, and when you offer thanksgiving to God, you're acknowledging that it's because of him, who you are, what you have, what has been done in your life. Amen? And so, guys, we need to understand that part of our service and ministry to God is that you and I, we're to show forth his praises. Why? Because we're a chosen generation. We're a royal priesthood. We're a holy nation. Amen? Praise and thanksgiving, it will cause your faith to abound. Amen. You read in Colossians 2 verse 6 and 7. See, anytime you operate in a high degree of faith, praise is going to be present in your life. Amen. Praise is going to be present. And listen, God's trying to get his church right now to operate at a high degree of faith. How many know he needs us to walk by faith? In fact, you read the scripture, it says that in the last days, it says, will there even be faith among in the earth? And so God's wanting us to cause our faith to rise. And I know in my life, when I offer praise, and when I offer thanksgiving to God, acknowledging his goodness in my life and his blessings upon my life, his strength and his ability to enable me to do what I do or to be able to accomplish what I can accomplish in this world, what it does, it causes my faith to begin to rise because I know that God is with me. Amen. Colossians 2:6 says, and you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. He says, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Abounding in what? Abounding in your faith with what? With thanksgiving. So understand, praise and thanksgiving will cause your faith to abound. In other words, it will cause your faith to exceed a fixed number. Instead of like a 10, you have a 20. Instead of a 20, you'll have a 30. Amen. In other words, you're going to go beyond a fixed number when you begin to offer thanksgiving unto the Lord. It's going to affect your faith. It's going to cause your faith to get strong. Amen. Praise forces you to get your attention on God and off your problems when you praise. Boy, if there's ever a generation that we need to get our attention off of our problems, it's this generation. And the only thing that does that is praising God. We got to praise Him. Amen? See, it's your focus on God that causes that breakthrough to come. And the most important thing that you can do is praise God. We got to praise Him, amen? Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. See, when you pray, you should begin your prayers with praise and end with praise. Philippians says this, it says that you and I, when we offer up our prayer and supplication, we need to do it with thanksgiving. Letting our requests be made known unto God. And the God of peace the God of peace, which surpasseth all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. And so we have to understand that praise forces you to get your attention on God and off of your problems. So understand praise and thanksgiving, it affects you. Amen? And listen, it will build you up spiritually and keep you from breaking down. Anybody ever see a broken down Christian? Huh? They just kind of falling apart, you know, because of life, because of things that are going on around them. You know, it says in Nehemiah, the 8th chapter, the 10th verse, it says that the joy of the Lord is going to become your strength. Amen. And we need to understand praise is a reflection of your joy in the Lord. When you begin offering your praise and your thanksgiving unto God. Amen. In fact, you study the Apostle Paul. Man, he was persecuted. He suffered things and went through things. But yet in everything that he went through, he looked at it and said, you know what? These things are temporal. And that's why he wrote in Philippians. He says, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. He said, be thankful in all things. See, he looked into the spiritual realm. Guys, God's trying to get us to look into the spiritual realm, amen? And see, praise, and this is, understand something about praise. Praise and thanksgiving, it will push you into that spiritual realm to be able to see what God has done for you. Amen? Remember when Paul was in prison? Him and Silas were in prison. What did they do? They began to sing, and they began to praise, and they began to offer thanksgiving. They weren't looking at where their condition was. They didn't look at what their circumstance was. But they're going to begin to offer praise and thanksgiving unto the Lord. In other words, their praise pushed them into a different spiritual realm. Come on. Listen to what I'm saying. You know, sometimes the enemy will shut us down and keep us from praising God and keep us from being thankful unto the Lord. And all we are is focused on our circumstances and focused on our problems. Why? Because he wants to keep you in your spiritual situation. He wants to keep you in that one situation. See, but God's trying to get you to press through into a different spiritual realm. And that's what Paul and Silas did. They begin to offer praises in the midst of a prison. And then the scripture talks about that would begin to happen. Man, their praise released the power of God. Their thanksgiving released the power of God. And all of a sudden there was an earthquake and their deliverance came. Guys, I'm telling you, your deliverance will come when you offer praise and thanksgiving unto the Lord. Amen? So understand your praise, it has an effect upon you. I could get up in the morning. And I know none of y'all do this, but I can get up in the morning and I could say, I don't want to go to work. Anybody ever said that? I know some of you retirees aren't saying that, but I get up and I say, I don't want to go. How many have ever said, I don't want to go to work today? But then what I end up doing, I begin to worship the Lord. I begin to praise him. I begin to give thanks. So I'm thanking him for a new day to be a part. And then the next thing I know, man, I'm wanting to go to work. In other words, it takes a little bit. I'm not kidding. I'm not going to lie to you. I got to really offer up a sacrifice of praise. But it changes me. It pushes me into another realm. You understand what I'm saying? It pushes me into another realm. And see, God's trying to push us into another realm to where he can release his power and his goodness into our lives. Amen. So understand praise and thanksgiving, because God said that we're to serve him with gladness of heart and that we're to offer praise to him. When we do it, it has an effect on us. It affects our faith. It causes us to enter into a realm of God that we may not enter into. So it changes us. Amen. It keeps us humble because we begin to recognize as we praise that everything that is happening in our lives is a result of the goodness of our God. Amen. But also your praise has the power to affect the devil. And I like this. Amen. Because listen, I want to make the devil nervous. I mean, I want him to turn tail and run. Amen. And so understand that your praising of God, your thankfulness to the Lord, it just doesn't affect us, but it becomes a powerful weapon against the powers of darkness. Amen. Listen to this Psalm 8, verse 1. It says, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is thy name in all the earth. Thou whose glory above the heavens is chanted by the mouth of babes and infants, thou hast founded a bulwark because of thy foes to still the enemy and the avenger. And it's talking about the mouth of babes and infants. It's talking about the perfection of praise. It's talking about the perfection of thanksgiving. And so what happens is that God raises up a bulwark. In other words, he raises up a defense against your foes, against your enemies, and stills the avenger. When you do what? When you praise. It has power. It has power. Amen. Psalms 8, verse 2. I'm going to read out the King James Version. Same verse of scripture. It says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. Now understand where this scripture, Jesus quoted this scripture. If you read in the book of Matthew, it talks about that when they began to sing Hosanna, you know, to the Son of David, blessed be him who is the King of Israel. When they began to declare that, okay, and he entered into the temple, Bible says he healed the sick man, but the Pharisees and them, they began to rebuke him, and they began to rebuke those that were saying, Hosanna, praises to the King of David. Amen. And then Jesus quotes the scripture in Psalms 8, verse 2. He comes against them with a rebuttal. He says, listen, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength. And it talks about the fact that the enemies will be stilled and the avenger will be stopped. Why? Because of praise. And so understand your praise has a powerful effect upon the devil. Amen. Listen. A tremendous revelation that we need to get is that praise is strength. Say that with me. Praise is strength. You know, some people are so involved sometimes in spiritual warfare, okay, that their attention is more on the devil than it is on God. Listen, there's a place to fight and to resist the devil, okay? But sometimes we focus too much on the devil, okay? And that's not good. Praise is a powerful weapon against the devil. And we need to understand how important it is for you and I to offer praise every day. Not just when we come to church on a Sunday. Guys, we need to offer praise every day. Amen. I praise the Lord when I'm riding in my truck. I offer thanksgiving unto the Lord. I thank him for his goodness. I thank him for his blessings. I bless him because, man, look how great the sunrise. You know, whatever's going on, I want to bless and magnify the Lord and give thanks to him. Why? Because I understand that praise is strength. You read in 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter, and it talks about how Jehoshaphat, he appointed these singers to go out to battle against the enemy. They didn't have sword or spear. All they had was their praise. Come on. All they had was their praise. And they began to praise the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. And the Bible says as they began to sing and to praise God, God showed up. Come on. God showed up. Come on, we want God to show up. I'm telling you what we need to do. We need to praise him and thank him like we've never praised him and thanked him before. Amen? We need to minister to him in the inner court. We got to offer our praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. And the Bible says that when they begin to sing and to praise the Lord, it says that God sent ambushes and the enemy was defeated. They didn't even have to fight. All they did was go and gather the spoils. How many are ready to gather the spoils? Come on. Well, I'm telling you a key. We've got to praise and give thanksgiving to the Lord. I mean, that's got to be something that, guys, man, we just flat out do every day. We don't let the devil shake us. We don't let the devil shut us up. We don't let the devil discourage us. We don't let the devil push us back. In other words, we begin to praise the Lord and magnify the Lord and thank God for everything that he's done. We got to rejoice and again 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 rejoice. Until what? Until the enemy flees. Amen? Why? Because there's strength in praise. There's strength in praise. You need to read in Isaiah, the 14th chapter. Because you say, well, why does praise defeat the devil? How does that defeat the devil? You know, Satan's sin was that he was jealous of God. Satan is still driven by jealousy today. How many know he's not changed? This devil's not changed. Isaiah 14. Listen, I heard someone say we need to pray for the devil to get saved. I said, what? Come on. That ain't happening. He's driven to jealousy. He hates God. He hates you. Amen. Isaiah 14, 13 says, but thou hast said in thine heart, this is speaking of Lucifer, I will ascend into the heavens. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. He was filled with pride, filled with jealousy in regards to who God was. If the devil can't get people to worship him, he's going to keep people from worshiping God. Guys, as a believer and as a priest of a holy priesthood, we are to worship, we are to praise, we are to give thanks, and we're not going to let the devil and we're not going to let anything stop us from doing that. Amen? See, the devil seeks to draw attention away from God. And as when you worship, and I don't know if you realize it, but you ruin the plans of the devil. Amen. See, the praise, it makes the devil flee and it releases the anointing of God. You know, even in the secular world, it knows the powers of praise. You know, I've talked to a friend of mine who was a physician, and he was saying that they had some research that was done that said that joyful people are healthier than people who are not joyful. Amen? And so we have to understand, when you praise, it stops the devil in his tracks. It stops him from doing what he wants to do. So understand, praise, it has an effect on you as a believer. It has an effect on the powers of darkness. Amen? But it also has an effect on God. I don't know if you've ever thought this, but it has an effect on God. Amen? Acts 13, verse 1, it talks about that they were at Antioch. Some of the prophets, some of the teachers. Saul was there and some others. In verse 2 of Acts 13 says, it says, and as they ministered to the Lord, as they ministered to the Lord, and as they fasted, the Holy Spirit came and spoke to them and said, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called to them. But in verse 2, it says that they ministered unto the Lord. Amen. The reason why we praise God, come on, church, the reason why we praise God, all right? Because it's important that we minister to Him. We're always wanting to be ministered to by God, but we need to understand God wants us to minister to Him. Amen? Not that He's having a problem, and not that, you know, He's depressed, okay? But we're to minister to God. We're to serve Him. Amen? See, a lot of times we often think of serving God only by serving others, which is an aspect of serving God. And we need to be a blessing to others. Amen? But we also need to understand that in serving God, we're also to minister to Him. Amen? So understand that the disciples, they were worshiping, they were glorifying God, they were ministering to Him, they were praising Him, guys. Guys, we need to, just think about that. How many times has God touched you? Man, He's touched me numerous times. How many times has God done something miraculous for you that you've prayed for and you've asked God? In other words, He met a need in your life. I mean, He's done that over and over and over for us. He saved us. Amen. He sent His Son and died for us. God is constantly ministering to us. Guys, we need to minister to Him. Come on, think of it. We need to minister to Him with our praise. Not just on Sundays. Aren't you glad that God doesn't just work on Sundays? That God doesn't just minister to you on a Sunday? And the rest of the week, you're kind of just out there on your own? I mean, He's there every moment of the day. To do what? To meet your need. His angels have charge over you, guarding you, protecting you, lifting you up. Holy Spirit is constantly there teaching you and guiding you and leading you and encouraging you. Miracles take place. Doors open. Things happen. Why? Because of God. Isn't that true? I mean, every day. And He's not just doing it for you or for me. He's doing it for all of us. Why? Because He loves us. We love Him. How many love Him? I love Him. Well, I want to have the opportunity to minister to Him. Just think, the privilege. Man, it's just an amazing thing that we can actually minister to God. How? By our thanksgiving, by our worship. Our praise. That's what they were doing in the book of Acts. They were ministering to the Lord. So understand, God desires ministry. Think about it. God desires ministry. I know He's completed in Himself. He's self-contained. But He wants our love. Amen? Revelations 4:11 says this. In fact, that's one of the reasons why he created us. Come on. It's one of the reasons, not to have to pick up after us. I mean, that's not why he created us. He created us, why? So that you and I can minister to him and bless him. Revelation 4:11 says, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and are created." Revelation 4 verses 1 through 11, you read, and the Bible says that they have these living creatures and surrounded by the throne of God, the 24 elders, and man, they begin, just began to worship and bless the Lord. Verse 8 says, and they began to cry and sing day and night, day and night, day and night. Holy, 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 the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And all the living creatures gave glory and honor and thanksgiving unto him who sat upon the throne, who lived forever and ever. The 24 elders fall down upon the ground and they cast their crown before the throne saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. You have created all things and your will is for that they exist, that they were created." And so we see in the scriptures that God, he's wanting to be ministered to. See, God's original and purpose for creation was for his pleasure. He created us to be full of praise. He created us to be full of joy. Come on, he created us to be full of thanksgiving. He delights in ministering to us. But guys, we need to understand, we need to minister to him. See, sometimes we think that our worth or our net worth in God is based on our service that we do. That if we've touched somebody or have helped somebody, you know, it kind of brings us up the scale, you know. He just longs for you to get personal with him. That's what God wants. He wants you to get intimate with him. There's hundreds and hundreds of times in scriptures where it talks about thanksgiving, where it talks about praises. Psalms 100 verse 4 says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving." If we're going to come before God, we need to come with thankful hearts. It says, and into his courts, we're to come with praise. We're to be thankful to him. And we're to bless his name. Guys, that's our job. That's what our royal priesthood duties are. Amen? Not only to minister to others, which we're to do. But guys, we've got to realize God wants us to minister to him. He wants us to minister him. Amen. See, service to someone else is no substitution for your relationship with God. You got to have your relationship with God. Amen. One of the number one priorities in our life is that we have to love God personally. And understand, praise and thanksgiving, That all involves of you and I giving ourselves to him. Amen? In other words, in an intimate communion with God. So understand something about praise, something about thanksgiving. It affects you as a believer. It'll strengthen your faith. It'll affect the devil. It'll cause you to become strong. It'll cause God to show up when you pray. But it affects God. Man, it brings joy to him when you and I offer up sacrifices of thanksgiving, sacrifices of praise to him. Not because we're being forced to do it, Not because Pastor Chuck said, okay, everybody raise your hands. Everybody, come on, let's lift our voices. Come on, everybody. You know, sometimes we need to just willingly do that, amen? I mean, every day, every moment. I mean, we just need to understand that we are a royal priesthood who've been given the privilege to enter into the inner court of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and have been given the right and the privilege to minister to Him. Need your need met? Minister to Him. You need a miracle? Minister to Him. You need healing? Minister to Him. You need your family saved? Minister to Him. You need the devil to get off your stuff and off your back? Minister to Him. Man, minister to the King. Minister to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And the Bible says that God will arise. And what will happen? The enemies will scatter. Come on. God will arise and the enemies will scatter. Why? Because we've done our priestly duty. We said, Lord, I will come into your inner court. And I will praise you. Regardless of what's going on the outside, God, I'm going to continually praise you and give thanks to you and worship you. God, I'm going to minister to you. How many of you guys are saved tonight? Man, what a blessing that we're saved. Come on, we gotta tell God, thanks, God. Hallelujah, you know what I'm saying? Thank you, Lord. Bless your name. Guys, we're going to heaven. Amen? We're not going to hell. Hell's a real place. Come on, I'm going to praise Him for that. I'm going to thank Him for that. Hallelujah. Well, Pastor, you do everything perfect? No. But by His grace, come on. He's perfecting us. We're being made into His image and in His likeness. So guys, I want to encourage you tonight. Man, offer thanksgiving. Offer praise unto the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Worship Him, amen, in the beauty of His holiness. Let's go ahead and stand.